looks like Jesus, oh, that's when unity will come, when we desire and long to be like Jesus.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Things must improve. Some things are just not okay. Pastor Brian Grant's message brings home the point, telling us it's time to solve the problem, but a political solution is not the answer. We will hear how fixing this racially broken nation will take a spiritual solution, and things will never get better in the nation as long as the Church of Jesus Christ remains badly broken. Broken church, broken nation. The equation couldn't be simpler. But again, we ask our listeners to tune in for these next 2 weeks as Pastor Grant finishes this two-part message of hope that provides a biblical roadmap for the Church of Jesus Christ to be the salt and the light our Savior intends for His church to be through the life-changing power of the gospel. We invite you to follow along in the scriptures as this evening, Pastor Grant concludes the first part of his first message entitled, God's Answers to the Racial Divide in the American Church, Part 1. Here again is Pastor Grant.
They only use the side of the Bible that challenges the opposition. We better be very careful. And because this is becoming prevalent today, people are using the Bible very conveniently only to challenge one side. But might we realize that when we only pick a part of the Bible to analyze the politics of today, we're making a huge mistake. Because when you only use a part of the Bible, you are distorting the message of the Bible. You know, it's hard for me to believe that a Christian missionary society who knew that the book of Revelation ends with a curse on anyone who subtracts anything from the Bible would take such a risk of leaving parts out. But you see how serious racism is? Racism is so serious that I will risk the judgment of God to achieve my purpose. Let me give you one more illustration. I was going to give you two. I'll only give you one. I'm not even going to talk about the curse of Ham. The curse of Ham in Genesis chapter 9. You can research it on your own. Suffice it to say, that one hit me because that idea came from Dr. Schofield. I loved his Bible, but in his notes, he has this issue about the curse of Ham. And of course, they concluded that the curse of Ham had to do with all the descendants of Africans. But let's look here in Genesis chapter 4, and let's talk about the mark of Cain. Let's talk about the mark of Cain, just for one more illustration, to see how we distorted the Bible so that we could come up with this convenient theology that whites were better than blacks, and that blacks deserve to be enslaved. Genesis chapter 4, I'm going to, for the sake of context, read verse number 8. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? So the words almost, God, what are you bothering me for? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now, you're cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength. Notice he was cursed. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. The Lord set a mark on Cain so that anyone who finds him would not kill him. And conveniently, this scripture went silently by until the slavery became an issue. And suddenly, guess what the mark of Cain is? The mark of Cain is black skin. Oh, you didn't know that. The mark of Cain, the church was now actually preaching that this curse, this mark that was put on Cain is black skin, and therefore anyone with black skin was cursed by God. My friend, these are the roots why so many young people, you know, this thing is hard to kill. If you grew up with this sort of a mindset, can you imagine the damage it does and how hard it is, how ingrained it is in the church? It's ingrained. This distorted theology has serious implications, because this distorted theology ends up making that white is good and black is bad. And so I remember growing up, I don't know if I ever came across a book, you know, the Sunday school teacher would show you all these wonderful books. I don't know if I came across any, if I was ever shown one where the good kid was the black kid and the bad kid was the white kid. The books, the stereotype, we ended up passing on a message that white was good and black was bad, and therefore naturally Jesus was white. Well, I come to that in a moment. I was preaching in a church and I realized that this false theology had even impacted our hymnology. And so as I sat there, the only person who looked like me, you know, I have the precious opportunity of speaking at a lot of churches where I'm the only one who looks like me. And as I sat there, my heart was black with sin. The song said, my heart was black with sin, and I realized the stereotype was still continuing to this very generation, where churches are comfortably preaching that sin is black. Although some of you may think I'm rough, I can be very gentle sometimes. And I went on the pulpit and I gently turn them to Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, where my Bible doesn't say sin was black. It said it was red. You say, Pastor, I know you that they didn't invite you back. Guess what? They did. I think they realized I wasn't fighting them, because sometimes the issue is we come across so much like we're making a big fight, but sometimes we need to clarify without fighting, amen? They realize I was just trying to set them straight. Number one, to help them realize that for many African Americans, this is an offensive idea, that you're continuing a stereotype, that we're trying to get rid of the fact that God made these divisions based on our race. Well, today, everything has flipped. It used to be that Jesus was white. You all see it on social media now, the big debate. Jesus must have been black. Are you all seeing that? Well, you say, Pastor, was he black? I know he was black. You want my opinion? I don't care. I'm going to tell you in a moment why I don't care. And I'm going to say to all of you listening this morning, you should not care either whether Jesus was black, white, yellow, Puerto Rican. It does not matter what he was. For what Jesus did for me was not based on the color of his skin. It was based on the color of his blood. Amen. It was based on the color of his blood. And I'm so thankful that the red blood of Jesus has saved me, and that the red blood of Jesus is able to save anyone who has red blood. Do you have red blood? You see, we identify with him by his blood. Jesus was, listen, he was God, but he was man. And as a man, I do know, he had red blood, and his red blood has washed my sins away. And my friend, I just want you to know that no matter what you have done, no matter who you are, no matter what race you are, the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary can wash your sins away. Hallelujah. I've had the privilege to preach and proclaim this incredible message, the message of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that his blood was shed to cleanse us. Thank God for the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. So I would just say to my brothers and sisters who are trying to make Jesus into their image, we need to stop for a moment. Instead of making him into your image, allow the Holy Spirit to turn you into his image.
Yes.
God wants us to be like Jesus, and we need to allow the Spirit of God to change us, so that we'll get rid of this nonsense in the church, this division in the church based on race. It's because we want Jesus to be like us. No, we all need to be like him. And when every believer looks like Jesus, well, that's when unity will come, when we desire and long to be like Jesus.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You know, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 tells me this, that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. I want you to know, the Bible does not tell me anything about Jesus' color, but what it does tell me, it has given me everything I need for life and godliness. Put two and two together. It means I don't need to know the color of Jesus. Chew on that. Spending time discovering the color of Jesus will add nothing to your spiritual life. It will not make you more godly. So instead of coming up with ideas as to what he might have been like, why don't you just take time allowing the Word of God to transform you into the likeness of Christ? Hallelujah. Well, I better get along because I think the clock is moving, and I need to get to question number two. I won't be as long on question number two as I was on question number one. Just as the only other question I'm going to answer today, the question is, what was God's vision for the church? This is a very important, we must deal with. What was God's vision for the church? Well, I'm going to read to you a little passage here, the same passage that was read, and it's worthwhile reading again in Ephesians chapter 2. So turn back there to Ephesians chapter 2. And if I go a minute or two over, I hope you won't hold it against me, because this is something we don't normally talk about. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once, Gentiles in the flesh. Oh, let's stop a minute. I hope you realize that if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. It's so amazing that we have all this race issue in the country and in our world. But if we only stop to realize that God had already lumped us all together, there is no, he only has Jews and Gentiles. He doesn't talk about the upper class or the lower class. He just had two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. I told you the story about when I, 30 years ago, I moved into this neighborhood. And up to then, it was new homes, and everybody who had moved in was Jewish except one man, a Caucasian man. And when he saw us, that we were buying a home, he ran up to us and he said, "Thank God there's another Gentile in the neighborhood." Another Gentile had come. That's the first time I was ever greeted in that way. But you see, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Whether you're Asian, whether you're Latin, it doesn't matter if you're not a Jew. He said, "Therefore remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called a circumcision," that's the Jews, "that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the commonwealth of promise, having no hope, without God in the world." That is describing every single one of us who were Gentiles. We were without hope. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah for the blood. Amen. "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." It's not talking the middle wall of separation between the blacks and the whites. It's the wall of separation between the Jews and the Gentiles, because all us Gentiles were in the one boat, standing outside looking in, and God has broken down that wall, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is a law of commandments, so as to create in himself one new man from the two. Verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows." Listen, this building that God is putting together includes all of us of all races being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. May God help us to grow into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Despite our division, he has made us one. Listen. Some folks don't like black people, but they don't like Jews either. I hope you realize that if you belong to Jesus, there is no place for anti-Semitism. The Christian church, sadly, is not only known for racism in terms of black-white issues, but issues that have to do with the Jews. What a thrill it was for us 8 years ago. We were in Jaffa, as they said in Israel. And there it was, a group of us mostly looking like me going to this assembly. And there were Arabs there. There were Jews there. And there were folks like us. Hallelujah. And we were all able to worship together because the wall has been broken down. That was a precious, that is one of the most memorable services I was ever in, because listen, we all didn't know each other's language. Everybody sang in his or her language, sang the same hymn, but we spoke English, they sang in other. But worship went up to the Almighty God, the one who has brought us together by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah, the middle wall has been broken down. But listen. The baptism, write this down, the baptism of the Holy Spirit united the church into one body. You see, we get all mixed up with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't have time to go into that, but suffice it to say, let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. And here it was, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we were Jews or Greeks, whether, in other words, Gentiles, no matter which Gentile nation you're from, whether you were a slave or you were free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. He has united us. Did you see that? For by one spirit, verse 13 says, we were all baptized into one body. And listen, we are all part of one body. My social class, my race doesn't care. No wonder Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, where we be starting, and we'll put it up one more time. Galatians 3, 26, 28 says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism. But we're not talking about water baptism. All who have been united with Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. Oh, hallelujah. You may have been a racist before, but the day you come to Jesus, you put on a new clothes. We're not the same anymore. And may God help us. Like putting, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. My friend, if you leave here this morning and you don't get that message, you don't want to get the message. The Bible is clear. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Perhaps you're listening to me this morning, and as you're listening, you realize God is speaking to you because you have had some racist thoughts. Your prejudices have affected you. Perhaps the way you were raised. Perhaps it's because an issue at job, at work or something, and you just don't like certain people because of their race. You need to pause right now and repent. God's word demands change. And if you realize as you sit, it doesn't matter what color you are from, but as you listen, you realize that there are individuals that, although they're Christian, because of their race or because of their social status or whatever it is, you don't like them. You need to stop right now and say, oh God, help me. I repent. I admit. Lord, when I see your word, what your design for the church, what's your vision for your church, I realize I am in sin. And God, I want to change today. Do it. He'll help you. But who constitutes the church? You've said a lot about the church. Who is it that we've been talking about? I want to be clear as I bring this to an end. Because when God speaks about the church, he's not speaking to everyone who is a member of a local church. He's only speaking to those who are born again. For in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Are you born again? Are you sure you're saved? You say, what's this business about being saved? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, we don't get saved by works. Perhaps you've been going to church all your life and you've been trying to do a lot of good things. We don't get saved by what we do. We get saved by God's grace, God's undeserved favor. We didn't deserve his grace. We didn't merit his grace, but he chose to love us. He chose to save us. But listen, salvation only happens. It says, by grace are you saved through faith. There's a part you must play. My friend, as you listen, There's a part you must play. We're saved by God's grace through faith. What is that part? Through faith. It means that the only way I can be saved is by exercising my faith in what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. To realize that when Jesus hung on the cross, he was dying for me, that his blood was being spilled for me, that he has died so that I can go free. And this morning, I have to reach out to him in faith and say, Lord Jesus, I recognize you died for me. Would you come into my heart and save me today? And my friend, if you do that, God will hear you and he will save you. By grace are we saved through faith. If you reach out in faith, God will save you. God's salvation is by grace alone. Through faith alone, in Christ alone, and I pray that right now, you will respond to God's grace.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.